LSU takes care of business against UAB. And even though it wasn't an SEC matchup, even though it wasn't a really difficult opponent, we can still take some things away from that win for LSU. And that is exactly what we will do on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. So if you want to listen on your preferred podcast platform, then wonderful. You absolutely can do that. But just know that you can watch us on YouTube as well. So you can put it up on your smart TV. You can throw it up on your phone. You can watch the podcast as well as listen to it as well. But let's get into it. Because LSU football took care of business on Saturday. And I feel like maybe, you know, this is just my perception of it, but ever since LSU beat Alabama, I feel like every single game that LSU has played since, especially Arkansas, has been labeled as a quote unquote trap game. Now, Arkansas, I understand it. You know, you beat Alabama, you know, you go back to back to back beating Florida, Ole Miss, Alabama, you know, three of LSU's biggest rivals, they beat in three consecutive weeks, not counting the bye. So, you know, you look at Arkansas, and it might be a game that LSU overlooks or so on and so forth. But that was the label for Arkansas, and I understood it. I also felt like this had a label of a quote-unquote trap game, which was that fair or not? I personally don't think it's fair. Because, you know, you look at that Arkansas game, and LSU did what it needed to do, and that was to go into Fayetteville and come out a winner. And no, it wasn't pretty. I kind of highlighted that last week. It was not pretty, and it didn't come with at least a little bit of stress, a little bit of just, please, defense, please, please, please hold on to the lead because the offense isn't getting anything done. And that's exactly what LSU got. That's exactly what Harold Perkins did, was when he needed to step up, when his defense needed to step up, they did. So they went in, they took care of business. It wasn't easy, and it wasn't pretty. So I think a lot of people looked at that and said, well, you just narrowly escaped Arkansas with a win. Are you overlooking UAB and looking ahead to the SEC championship, looking ahead to the trip to College Station, taking on Texas A&M, another struggling team? I didn't believe that. I didn't subscribe to that belief. Because really, we haven't seen that from LSU at all this year. We haven't seen them overlook an opponent. And on to the next one. We didn't see LSU overlook Southern and looking ahead to Mississippi State. That wasn't necessarily the case. And I understand it's easy to say that, you know, a lower level opponent is probably going to be not be your number one focus. But I had no reason to believe that. One, because they haven't done it all season long. Two, because I think Brian Kelly has proven to us that he wants this team to be mentally tough. And I think that's kind of a coach speaky word or phrase rather, but I think it's true that even after the Alabama win, before the Arkansas game, he said, you know, that's not my job to get these guys ready each game, week in and week out. It's my job to provide them the intrinsic motivation to get themselves ready for these games. And I thought that was a really interesting approach to it, because that's how it should be. You shouldn't need a motivational speech from your coach every single day or every single Saturday morning before or after a game, after a big win or before a big game that is an absolute must-win game. You should be able to do that yourself. So I believe that's been the approach all season long for Brian Kelly, is you guys get yourself ready. I believe I've done what I can do to get yourself ready. And it looked like they did exactly that against UAB. And this isn't going to be like a UAB diss session, because UAB is not a bad team. I look at Texas A&M, for example. They played UMass this past week. UMass might be the worst team in college football. There's a very serious argument that UMass might be the best, worst team in college football. UAB is not a bad team. They're 5-6 after that loss to LSU, but going into that game, the 5-5 record, I don't necessarily think was very indicative of the amount of talent that team has. I mean, you look at their running back, Dwayne Robinson. He has the fourth most rushing yards in all of college football. And I believe that he came into, excuse me, I just called him Dwayne Robinson. That's not his name. Dwayne McBride. I apologize to Dwayne McBride. Dwayne McBride has the fourth most rushing yards of any player in college football. And I believe that he went into the season number two before this game. And then, of course, LSU's defense took care of business, did what they needed to do, and focus in on him. We'll get into more of that later on in the show about how they were able to shut Dwayne McBride down as much as they possibly could. But I mean, I think that's the testament to this team, is that they're not a team that you can just look past and say, oh, easy dub. LSU took care of business. LSU did what they needed to do against a team that is solid, against a team that's been faced with a lot of adversity. Their coach retired, or at least stepped away, earlier at the beginning of the season. So that's kind of tough. Now you're forced to kind of reverse course here. And now you're with a new head coach after spending all summer and training with your head coach, and you have this philosophy set, and you have, you know, your just the way of doing things is set, and then your coach steps away. Well, that's not a very easy way to start the season, and they were able to overcome it. So this UAB team, all of this to say, this UAB team is not a bad team by any means, but LSU took care of business. LSU did what they were supposed to do, and LSU now is setting themselves up for its first 10-win regular season in years, going into College Station next week. And now they're going to have all of the momentum after this kind of get right game, this get right, get healthy for some, not for all. We'll get into that later on in the show. And also, you know, just a total mental reset and a total confidence boost after that kind of hairy game against Arkansas. But it wasn't all good. I always say, even in a loss, you can take away good things. Even in a win, you can take away some bad. So that's what I want to get into coming up next for some of my takeaways. More negative takeaways for LSU's win against UAB. We will get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about Simply Safe. So if you've thought about securing your home with home security, but you've kind of been putting it off, you thought, okay, maybe we'll just get into it later. We'll focus on the holidays first. No. You want to listen up, because right now, Locked On LSU listeners can order the number one rated Simply Safe home security system for 50% off, half off. It's their biggest offer of the year, and you do not want to miss it. So here's why I love it. It's 24/7 security. So even if I'm at home, on the road, away from my house, I know that I'm going to be protected at all times, any day of the week. They have 24/7 monitoring agents and the Simply Safe support staff that have your back no matter what. And in that emergency, 24/7 professional monitoring agents use the Fast Protect technology exclusively from Simply Safe to capture critical evidence and verify that the threat is real, so you can get priority police response. So you can do this on your phone, on the Simply Safe app. You can do it while you're at home, so you know, hey, wherever I am, wherever my family is, I'm protected, my family's protected, my home is protected. So don't miss your chance to save big on the only security system that I recommend. You can get 50% off any new Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/lockedoncollege. This is their biggest discount of the year, so do not wait. 50% off at simplysafe.com/lockedoncollege. There's no safe like Simply Safe. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen today. So for your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most and the biggest stories in sports, will go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with the local experts and insights that only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's get into it. Some of the more negative takeaways that I saw from this LSU-UAB game, or at least things that we can look ahead to moving forward, things that need to be cleaned up a little bit. And some of these things are things that have been needed to be cleaned up for quite some time. First and foremost, I think the most glaringly negative bad thing that came out of this game was Armoni Goodwin. He was announced during the broadcast that he is out for the rest of the season with a knee injury. It was reported during the game, and then Brian Kelly confirmed it after the game. And that's a really big blow for this LSU offense. That's a really big blow for this LSU running back core that is starting to dwindle a little bit. It's been having some health issues. I mean, Armani Goodwin was the team's third leading rusher behind Jaden Daniels is included in those three, but was the second leading running back on the team. He had 45 rushes, 267 yards in the season, 5 touchdowns. But I think the most astonishing thing, the most impressive thing about Armani Goodwin is the fact that he's averaging almost 6 yards per carry. Armani Goodwin has this big play ability that when the ball is in his hands, I kind of brace myself for him to pop off. And whether that's, you know, a gain of 10 or a gain of 35, I always expected big plays to happen, big chunk plays to happen when Armani Goodwin had the ball in his hands. And I mean, I don't know if this is just me or if you felt the same way, but when he was out for those three games with a hamstring injury and he comes back against Ole Miss, even though he doesn't have the, you know, the sexiest stats, even though he's not on pace for a 1,000-yard season, even a 500-yard season at that, Armani Goodwin's presence was felt so much so whenever he came back from that hamstring injury against Ole Miss. So that's a bummer. That sucks, honestly. It sucks for Armani Goodwin. You know, he's a sophomore. He'll be able to come back next year and kind of and be ready and be 100% next season. But it sucks for this running back court. It sucks for this offense. It sucks for Armani Goodwin. And, you know, I look to it and say, okay, next man up. What, you know, who's going to step up in Armani Goodwin's absence? You know, I look at Noah Cain, who balled out against UAB. He had a career day, 76 yards, 3 touchdowns. I think this was a big breakout game for Noah Cain. And Noah Cain is a very talented and gifted running back. He just hasn't proven to me yet that he has that kind of big play ability that Armani Goodwin or maybe John Emery might possess. So Noah Cain is going to be one that I look at and say, okay, you have been reliable all season long. You've been a good back all season long, but what more can you do for me now that there is kind of this spot open left in Armani Goodwin's absence? Look at Josh Williams. It was a little bit concerning that he was out on Saturday. But I'm thinking, okay, was it maybe just, you know, a cautionary thing that he was out? Maybe he was just a little bit banged up and they looked at it and said, hey, we don't need you to take care of business against UAB. So you go ahead and sit, you rest so you can be 100% against Texas A&M and then going into the SEC championship. I'm not overly concerned about Josh Williams, but it was, you know, a little bit of a red flag to me to not see him out there on Saturday. But he is somebody that's going to have to step up without Armani Goodwin. And of course, John Emery is going to have to step up as well. So this quartet of running backs that we've seen kind of play this running back by committee role where they all of their skill sets complement this offense and complement one another very well. It's now missing one key piece. And I mentioned John Emery, which brings me to my next point. The next thing that I didn't love so much on Saturday against UAB, and that was John Emery's ball security. He had 2 fumbles on the night against UAB. And he's had issues taking care of the football all season long. He's had 4 lost fumbles on the season, 4 total fumbles on the season, 1 against New Mexico, and then 1 against Auburn, and then those 2 against UAB. So, you know, against UAB, you know, LSU was up. This was really the one that just got me, that made me so frustrated. So this is in the first quarter. LSU's up 14-10. They're driving into UAB territory. They're on the UAB 12. John Emery gets the ball and fumbles at UAB's 8-yard line. UAB recovers it, and now they have possession of the football. You're only up by 4 points. This is not a comfortable lead whatsoever. And you've been driving into UAB territory. And in my opinion, like when I was watching this game, I'm like, okay, they're going to score here. They'll go up 21-10. You feel much more comfortable there. And it didn't happen because John Emery couldn't take care of the football. That's a problem. And then later on in the game, third quarter, I believe, LSU's up 34-10. So, you know, a much, much, much more comfortable lead than the 14-10 that it was in that first fumble. But he fumbles, UAB recovers. And no, UAB wasn't able to capitalize on either of those turnovers. After both of those fumbles, UAB punted on both of those possessions. But I always say this. I say it about special teams. I say it about turnovers. I say it about any kind of sloppy play or sloppy penalties. Is just because this team wasn't able to capitalize on it doesn't mean that Georgia won't be able to do that in the SEC championship. Because if this isn't UAB, if John Emery fumbles against Alabama twice, well, Alabama's probably running that into the end zone. If maybe not on that play, then once they get possession, they will be able to capitalize on that. And so, no, it didn't make a difference in the game against UAB, but the sloppiness is concerning. The sloppiness is concerning because against Georgia or against Texas A&M or even further into a bowl game, God forbid the college football playoff, and you turn the ball over twice, they're not punting on those possessions. Whatever team you play isn't punting there. They're scoring there. So John Emery, especially with Armani Goodwin's injury, John Emery is going to be playing a larger role, but John Emery has got to take care of the football. Because this is not a one-time issue. This is not a one-time thing. This is an offense that takes care of the football. I mean, you look at Jaden Daniels' stats and they are astonishing. Only, to my recollection, I believe only two interceptions so far this season. And this is not a turnover-prone team. This is a team that plays really clean football. So John Emery has got to get with the program, with the rest of the offense, and take care of the football. He's a great player. John Emery is a fantastic player, which kind of like Armani Goodwin has that big playability, but I can't trust the ball in his hands. The big playability might not always outweigh the ball security. So that was another thing, was John Emery's fumbles. Just something that I'm going to be concerned about moving forward. And the third thing, and this is like Groundhog Day, deja vu all over again, death taxes, and me talking about special teams and the three things that I don't like after an LSU football game. So LSU scores on the opening drive, up 7-0, you know, all the momentum is on their sideline, feeling good, you know, great, up 7-0. We were able to score on one possession. And then UAB rips off a 66-yard kick return to the LSU 30, setting up an easy, easy touchdown for UAB's offense that was able to score just two or three plays later. So that's a problem because, like I say, a 66-yard kick return to set up an easy touchdown, that was not, you know, that didn't affect the outcome of the game. LSU still would have won, still did win, obviously. But that's not always going to be the case. If you let Georgia rip off a 70-yard kick return, which sets them up for an easy touchdown, you might lose. You know, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot there. So special teams kick returns have been an issue. Special teams tackling has been an issue. And how many good teams, like championship caliber teams, teams that are competing for a spot in the college football playoff, have repeated special teams issues? I don't think any of them do. I don't think any team in college football, which is like such a bold statement considering that I don't follow any team as closely as I follow this team, but it feels like there's no other team that's experiencing these issues. So what in the world is going on here? I've already called for Brian Polian's special teams duties to be revoked, and I stand by that because while this special teams blunder didn't cost them this game, I swear, if a special teams blunder costs LSU a chance at the college football playoff, I will never forgive Brian Polian. I will never forgive him. And I think here is just kind of a testament to that, that if UAB can do it, then Georgia can do it. The Texas A&M can do it. Michigan can do it. So on and so forth. And also the kicker here. I mentioned Dwayne McBride earlier, you know, fourth the highest rushing yard total in college football. It wasn't even him. It was the running back, Jermaine Brown, the number two guy on their team. And he was able to rip off almost 70-yard kickoff return. I mean, what gives, guys? What gives? The special teams just drive me freaking bonkers. But I'll get into the good things because I always like to end on the good stuff. So we'll get into the things that I think LSU fans can look at and say, I feel really, really good about this team moving forward. We'll get into that coming up next. But first, I want to tell you about this week's thrilling moment in college football, which is, of course, is brought to you by Nissan. The thrilling designs behind the new lineup from Nissan are intended to empower drivers and vehicles as capable as the driver themselves. So when I think of unbelievable abilities on the field for this week's thrilling moment, I have to look at Malik Nabers, because Malik Nabers has been a dog all season long, but he had that 47-yard bomb at the beginning of the game to set up LSU's first touchdown. So Malik Nabers had a wonderful game against UAB, and I know that he will continue to get that momentum going once we get into the postseason. But this segment has been inspired by the thrilling new designs featured across Nissan's new lineup of vehicles. Pursue what thrills you in the all-new Frontier, Armada, or Pathfinder today. Available now at NissanUSA.com. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, check us out on YouTube. Also, I want to let y'all know that we are going to do a Mailbag Wednesday on Wednesday this week. So get your questions, comments, concerns in for me. You can tweet them at me. You can comment them on YouTube. You can DM me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1 or at Locked On LSU. We'll get into your questions about this team, about the postseason, about the SEC, about college football as a whole, whatever questions you got. You can send them to me and I'll make sure to get to those on Wednesday. But let's get into it. The three things that I loved on Saturday. I don't know how you can watch what Jaden Daniels did on Saturday and not be so happy and not be so relieved. Because I told y'all after that Arkansas game, I said, I know that the offense was abysmal. I understand that Jaden Daniels had a sub 100 yard passing game against Arkansas. I understand the offense didn't look so hot against Arkansas, but I wasn't going to stress. And I said that you shouldn't either, because I think we saw a bounce back game from that offense. And that was a much needed bounce back kind of confidence boost. And it all started with Jaden Daniels. Like I said, he had sub 100 passing yards against Arkansas. He turns around against UAB, goes 22 of 29, incredibly efficient, 297 yards passing, a touchdown through the air, 12 rushing attempts for 111 yards and a touchdown. So over 400 total yards of offense from Jaden Daniels on Saturday. And I mean, like I said, a huge confidence booster for this game, for this team before the A&M game. And I think too, the biggest thing with Jaden Daniels is it looked like he got his groove back. And I don't want to say that it really went anywhere, because it was really just kind of that 1 week lapse against Arkansas, but it was good to kind of see that confident Jaden Daniels, that calm and cool and collected Jaden Daniels that we had seen from him in weeks prior. We kind of saw that against UAB. So it's kind of good to see that get back. And I always say this offense works best when it's a balanced pass and rush team. It cannot just be one thing. They're not going to win very many games just by running the football. And I don't know if LSU's passing game has proven to be the only element of their offense that's going to carry them to victory against some of these more difficult games down the stretch. So a nice balanced run and pass offense. That's what we saw against UAB. That's when I see this offense at its best. I mentioned him just a few minutes ago. Malik Nabers is the second thing that I love to see. And I brag about Malik Nabers so often and so frequently. And I think that stems from one, because he has emerged as, you know, Jaden Daniels' favorite target, but also because I didn't expect this from Malik Nabers. I expected him to be a solid player for sure. I expected him to be a reliable aspect of this passing game, but I didn't expect Malik Nabers to be this integral of a piece in the passing game. Against UAB, he had 7 receptions for 129 yards. Think about that. 7 receptions, 129 yards. Those are the big time chunk plays, plus that 47-yard bomb to set up that first touchdown in the game to get this offense rolling. I mean, he is so invaluable. He continues to show up and he continues to impress me. And it wasn't just Malik Nabers. He, of course, had the biggest, most, you know, highlight-worthy day. But it was nice to see other receivers get involved, and it was nice to see Jaden Daniels kind of throw the ball around. Kayshon Booty out on Saturday with the flu, but we saw Jack Besh. We saw one of his best games of the season so far, 3 receptions for 61 yards. We saw Dre Jenkins with those 2 catches for 29 yards. Again, another guy who's able to, you know, even though it wasn't the deep, deep balls, there's more of those chunk plays where Dre Jenkins is able to show up big time in the box score. And then also Brian Thomas, those 4 catches for 21 yards and a touchdown on the day. So the wide receivers as a whole had a great day. And then the third thing that I wanted to highlight, which I don't think was, you know, the biggest story of the game. I think the offense absolutely was the biggest story of the game. Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, those two were the biggest story of the game, not just offensively, but for this team as a whole. But I wanted to give a shout out to the defense, because the defense has very obviously proven to me that they are going to be reliable. With this LSU offense, I don't really always know what to expect. I know what I can hope for, and that's run the ball, throw the ball, you know, use the run to set up the pass. That's what this team does best. But I always know what to expect from the defense. And I always know that the defense is going to come through. They've proven that to me. Even when it got a little scary there, when UAB was able to capitalize on their first two possessions, of course, that first touchdown after the 66-yard kick return, and then they were able to score a field goal on that second possession. So that was when the game was 14-10 after LSU's second or third possession. But the defense was able to completely shut things down since then. Once UAB got those 10 points on the board, that was all she wrote. So maybe the defense needed a little bit of time to settle in. And once they were settled in, it was lights out for UAB's offense. I mentioned Dwayne McBride. He was one player that I was really interested in going into this game because he's so talented. He has not rushed for fewer than 120 yards at all this season. He's averaging 6.6 yards per carry. I mean, he's hit that 200 mark twice so far this season. And in the games that he hasn't hit 200, he's gotten really close to it. But LSU's defense was able to limit him to 13 rushes and 34 yards in just that one touchdown at the beginning of the game. A guy who's been putting up 120-plus yards every single game this season, and you limit him to just 2.6 yards per carry, I can tell that that was the game plan going into this game, was you stop Dwayne McBride at all costs. And if UAB is able to beat you without Dwayne McBride, then good for them. But they weren't able to. But they were able to shut Dwayne McBride down. So that is a very reassuring thing for me in terms of this run defense. You know, Harold Perkins, you know, he didn't have the sexiest game like he did against Arkansas, but he still was getting pressure on the quarterback all night long. I thought Harold Perkins had a great day. You know, overall, the defense didn't walk away with any, you know, SportsCenter top 10 kind of plays. It wasn't the sexiest performance, but they got the job done. The defense continues to show up, and they did that against UAB. Even when it wasn't a four-sack performance, they still are gritty, and they grind, and they get the job done. So the defense, I think, always is going to be something that I go into any game and say LSU can compete with any team in the country because of that defense. Now, coming up on tomorrow's episode, I'll break down what Brian Kelly has to say at the podium. We'll also take a look around the SEC. And also, do not forget to get your questions in for a Mailbag Wednesday this Wednesday. But thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. We've got the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts.